can get some batteries. I would be blessed. I hope you heard me for most of the announcements anyway. Did you hear me for most of them? Our youth group's going to Alaska. So start to pray for them. And God willing, they'll come home. So next August, there's a whole big trip up there. And I'm excited you'll hear more about it as the time goes on. For the sake of time and announcements this morning, I won't go into all of it. But August, next August, 2025. Yep. And we need to pray for their trip planning and their trip fundraising. It's an expensive trip. We've never had anybody not go on one of our youth trips because of money, by the way. Isn't that something? We've sent youth groups to Mexico and Jamaica. And I don't mean the vacation Mexico. I mean like the country and vacation Jamaica or non-vacation Jamaica. All over the place, really. New York and Florida, California a couple times. And we've been all over. And never one time has a youth not gone because of money. God has always been very generous with our youth group. So do pray for them and their fundraisers and all that sort of thing. Big times are coming. Oh, look at that. I'm making a... I was thinking of Moses. That man must have had a loud voice. No microphones. How did he do it? All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Ulysses, feel good? Sound good? One other announcement. This is kind of a fun announcement. We had a bit of a pickle. We bought this building, and we have this sign in our front yard. Now, in our last building, if you are newer here, I will tell you we've only been here for a few months. We moved in basically the beginning of June. We've been working on it longer than that, but basically we moved in the beginning of June. And our last building was originally purchased only by our sister congregation, which is now known as Anchor Falls. And when our sister congregation bought that building, they put a great big sign on a billboard outside. And we looked at replacing the sign after Beth Messiah came to be. Our sister congregation stepped back and said, we will share ownership of that building. This is a big thing. The building, they literally gave up half ownership of it. So when we moved here, this became Beth's and Anchor's building. This became a joint building. Do you see this? It's amazing. It's very, very generous. And it's very, very cool. But that sign in the other building, at one point, before we moved, we thought, well, let's change the sign. And let's have it say Beth Messiah also. But then it was $20,000 to do that. And we thought, well, let's not change the sign. And let's just see if we can't find a new building. And that's kind of how it came to be. So in this building, we're going to put a sign out front. And we know, because it's now our building, that we're going to put a sign that says Anchor Falls, our sister congregation, but also Beth Messiah. Isn't that cool? And Anchor Falls had to change their name because there's a bunch of Graces around in Lutheran. They used to be Grace. Grace Lutheran out here in Menominee Falls, Grace something something. A lot of Graces. And we had people coming to visit us. They thought they were coming to visit our sister congregation. They were going to these other Graces. So kind of a mess. So they changed their name to Anchor Falls. And they changed their logo. And I don't know if you remember, you longer-term Bethites, our Beth logo had kind of a match to the Anchor logo, the Grace back then. There was kind of a match. And when we realized that the logos and the names were changing, it kind of changed the look. And we thought, it clashes on what we would put on a new sign. Now, I know that may seem odd to you, but we don't want different color blues and different color, different confusing signage. You know, it's just a limited space. So how can we make both logos and fonts and everything look like they belong together, but yet separate? You tracking with me? And it sounds like such a small thing, but I tell you, this was a lot of discussions. And we hired a graphics designer who lived in Bulgaria. Gregory from Bulgaria. Never met him. But he put something together for us, and we have a new logo now. And now that we have a new logo, and Anchor Falls has their new logo, we're going to make a new sign for the front, and it's going to be a good, proper home for us. Yeah? Oh, it's good, right? So it's actually just, it's the same thing we used to have, just kind of a bit more of a modern look. Our other one was already almost 20 years old. Star of David, because, if I have to explain that, you're in the wrong group. And the dove, because, and we believe very much, and there's all kinds of representation to that. And, of course, our name, which is House of the Messiah. Beit Mashiach is another way of saying it. Beth Messiah. That's us. So you're going to start to see this in different places. Now, I have a question, and this is going to be by show of hands. Please don't yell it out. It's going to throw me off. In the fall, there's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and we have three big days. But we know there's another big day that God himself commands that needs to be observed in spring. It's not Easter. Who knows what it is? Oh, wow. Oh, you know what? I got to go way back. Jeannie Timken, you were the first hand up I saw in the room. Pesach. Oh, so good. Now, why would I ask that question? Because I have a prize for you. New bling. Beth Messiah water bottle. Isn't that cool? Yeah. It's not spiritual at all, but it's fun. What's that verse? Some of that, never thirst again. Not when you have a water bottle. I'm kidding. You ready for the word or you're ready to go home now? Weren't those a lot of announcements? The word. When am I going to hit it? I want to take a survey. This is highly not effective. I know it's not an effective survey. Let's just bear with me for a minute. How many of you saw the debate, presidential debate this week? Now, those of you who raised your hands, put your hands down. You're my audience. If you didn't raise your hand, you can't answer this. Only for the people who raised your hands. How many who watched the debate, did it change your mind and who to vote for? Nobody. Okay, no changing of mind. I think it was an interesting debate. I'm not going to talk about politics here. But it was an interesting debate. These two, we know about them. They both have times in the White House or, you know, in D.C. as a whole. And we have a sense of who they are. They're not entirely new to us as people. I mean, one's a vice president, one was president. And it's an interesting journey. But it definitely made me think about, and I don't know if you think about, the craziness in America. Each one of them said these things, and I'm like, well, I wouldn't have said it like that, you know? Like, I wouldn't have said it like that either. And they said these things. Now, I'm being super politically correct in how I'm saying these things, but are you tracking with me? Each one of them said stuff I'm like, I don't know. They're just two people. One was a man, one is a man, one's a woman. It's just two people, and they're going up and they're having a debate. And, you know, most of Western world was watching. At least the political leaders were watching in different parts of the world. Different countries are getting a sense of what America's putting out. A lot of us Americans, of course, were watching, or maybe we heard about it in the news the next day, or maybe we've seen it on, you know, social media, just blurbs about one candidate or another candidate. I mean, it doesn't even matter. But what does stand out is there's such visibility on an event that was so crazy. It was a crazy event. And all the way through, we look at politicians as a whole, and we're living in this time, and we know it's by the way, it's a blessing. I don't know if you see any in the back, you see that van moving around? This is not spiritual, but I just have to point it out. We have been accumulating metal in the building, and we couldn't put it in our big dumpsters, and we're putting it on the lawn. And this neighborhood is a pretty safe neighborhood. They wouldn't even take our metal on the lawn. We're like, come and just take it. So yesterday, finally, somebody came and they're taking it. I'm like, oh, praise God. They're working so hard to get this stuff out. They're going to get like $50 for it. That's it. I'm like, man, if you want to work. I mean, yesterday, the guy's here for like 2 hours to labor out $50 worth of metal. More power to you. So this is, believe it or not, is an answered prayer right now. We're pumped. And Andy Renner, my brother-in-law, is like, oh, thank you, God. That's what he said yesterday. It's pretty telling where to go just to get it out. So, the point is about these politicians and politics today. We're living in a nutty time. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican or Democrat, an independent, Green Party, communist, whatever you are, this is nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Does anybody disagree with me? Anybody think this are harmonious? I mean, this is nuts. And I don't know about you. I'm I was trying to decide before if this is an age thing. Maybe some of this is an age thing, but I think it's more than an age thing. I remember America was a better place. There was more civil. I remember debates, for example, they would actually debate, you know. There's no debate. They can't be civil to each other. And it's not just those two. It's anybody in all of these parties. I listen to these interviews, and even the journalists can't be civil to each other. And I think, well, what kind of profession is this? Studies are coming out and telling us now we're no longer affiliating with our friends. We're affiliating with our political views and using that to help us find friends. So in other words, if you're a Democrat, these are credible. I think this was Barna that I read this in. This is very credible, where if you're a Democrat, you identify as Democrat, and you look for other people who are also going to be Democrat, and then that will be your friend base. It used to be you make friends with Republicans and Democrats. You see what I mean? Or if someone's a Republican, then they look for other Republicans, and that becomes their friend base. So we have now decided to filter our friend base based on our political leanings. It's nuts. Absolutely nuts. And I know we're living in tough times politically. So what I'd like to do today is just speak to that a bit. I'm not going to encourage anybody to be Republican or Democrat. I'm not going to encourage any... Is everything okay over there? That is our security in the room. If you see security in the room, get up and walk and look out the window. Pause. Really. If you ever see her move, pause. That's a good word. I am trained, by the way. I'll say this is another aside, but this is a good one. Because if it ever happens, I don't want you to think I'm a coward. This is like bad for my male ego here. I feel very fragile on this topic. If somebody nefarious would come in with a gun, my training is to run. My training. Now, what I want to do is stand and throw something or do something, you know. But the reason is they usually follow the speaker, and that I would be the distraction. I would be the decoy. So you would be safe. Get the idea? So if it ever happens and you see me run, you know, local news, you know, guy at Beth Messiah runs out the door. It's bad for my psyche. So anyway, the political time that we're in, we are not alone in having processed bad political times. All through history, believers have had to deal with different political times. It's happening right now in other parts of the world. But I want to go through the scripture and just, can we back up one? This is interesting. This is a different deck. This is not the presentation. Yeah, that's last week. So, David, we're going to step off here, but I'm going to try to walk you through this. Would you please give this to John? Now I feel like I need to tell you what's going on the outside so we can stall for a couple of minutes. I do want to use scriptures today. This is an important part. The scriptures are an important piece of the message. They're going to get it going. Well, I'm going to start to speak through this before, even though we're not in the scripture, so you're going to have to take my word for it that this happened to people in the Bible. The angst of the day. Are you okay?
Yes, sir.
Do you know, literally, every time you move, I'm trained to watch you move? Through the scriptures, we see men and women who have really struggled with politicians in their time, and I think that for us to struggle with politicians in our time is not anything new. For example, Habakkuk. If we look at Habakkuk, I believe it's in the beginning, Habakkuk 1, verses 1 through 4, Habakkuk starts talking about how bad it is in the land and how bad people in the land, his own people, Jews in the land, are being towards... themselves and each other, and how unrighteous things are, how unjust things are. People in the land seem to have these, you know, they're taking advantages of other people. So, and he's talking about this, and he's really mourning over this. What's going on with, oh, here we go. That's awesome. So I'm going to the third bullet point, Habakkuk. We'll just look at this. The law has become paralyzed. This is the verse. There's no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. Look, our legal system, he's saying, is not fair. It's not right. People are being taken advantage of in the legal system. They're taking advantage of the legal system. There is a problem with the legal system, and I feel like that could be us in 2024. A lot of people are dissatisfied with the legal system, one way or the other, Republican, Democrat, communist, independent. It doesn't matter. There's great dissatisfaction right now in our legal system. There's been calls to overhaul the Supreme Court, for example. They say it's not fair because there's too many conservatives. Conservatives are saying it's not fair if you put more people on because then it becomes too liberal. And there's disputing about our legal system, and Habakkuk was in that. I like how God responded. Don't worry, Habakkuk. I'm going to send the Chaldeans to come in and throttle the Jews, to throttle Israel. That's going to teach them. And then they're going to understand. So I hear what you're saying, Habakkuk. You know, we may say, well, God, we're going through these problems right now. And he's saying, I hear what you're saying. I have a response, and it's in motion. Esther, Haman the bad guy, does not like Jews. He's going to do something nefarious. He goes to the king and he says, hey, king, you got to kill these guys. He said, so it is not in the king's interest to let them live. And he said, you got to kill them all. You got to put them to death. And the king said, yeah, you're right. We should just kill them all. Okay, let's do it. And Haman deceived the king, and the king was willing to do it. And of course, Esther raised for the time such as this. She steps in at the end. But remember, before Esther ever got in, it was a volatile and a horrible political situation that the leaders were being lied to. Psalm 73. The guy who wrote this, Asaph, wrote a number of things in the Bible. You know, we give a lot of credit to people who wrote the scriptures. We say, well, David wrote Psalm, and his son Solomon wrote Proverbs, and Paul wrote much of the New Covenant. But actually, David didn't write all of Psalm. This guy, Asaph, wrote some of Psalms, and he was the top worship guy, the overarching worship guy for David. He served a number of kings. He was really a very staunch believer in the Lord himself. And he's saying, if I had decided to say these things out loud, I would have betrayed your people. He was so upset with the people, what was going on in the land, and the whole processing and everything that was gathering and building around. He was so upset with it. And he said, this is not fair. It's unjust and not fair. Why they get things for nothing, and other people have to work for them. It doesn't make sense to me. It's not fair to me. Does that sound like today? There's people who are really, they think this isn't fair, or this isn't fair, or this isn't fair, or this isn't fair. And they're on both sides of the Republican Democrat Party. A fierce king will rise to power. Now, this Daniel, this last bullet point, actually is a series of verses. Read it all yourself. But Daniel is prophesying about somebody, a political situation in the future. A fierce king will rise to power. He will cause a shocking amount of destruction and succeed in everything he does. And this bothered Daniel so much, this vision that he got to prophesy this. He lamented and mourned and had a bad time physically for some days afterwards. This vision of this king coming, this political nightmare that was coming, really messed up Daniel, even physically. We know that believers can be impacted by what goes on, and we see the angst and the heartache of these believers saying, these followers of the Lord is just saying, what's going on, God? Where's the fairness? Why do we have leaders like this? What's going on? Yeshua himself, this is an amazing political slice. It's an amazing political slice. The story to assassinate Yeshua, the story, now it had to happen. Yeshua himself was led like a lamb to the slaughter. In other words, he willingly went. The Jews didn't kill him. The Gentiles didn't kill him. They all got together. Everybody had their hand in he being led like a lamb to the slaughter. It was his own choice. But the excuse, the final excuse that the Pharisees and Sadducees used in getting everybody together to kill him was this. This was the final nail, and it's nothing but a political assassination. John 11, so the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and said, what are we going to do since this man does many signs? Now, earlier in this chapter, Yeshua actually raises up Lazarus from the dead. That's an attention getter. So they are so bunched up in the negative about he just raised a man from the dead. All they saw was negative. If he raised up your loved one from the dead, would you see it as negative? They did. They saw it as negative. And so what are we going to do? If we let him continue in this way, everyone will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and remove both our place and our nation. We're going to lose our political effectiveness. That's a political assassination, wouldn't you say, think? Now, in reality, they didn't kill the Messiah. He went voluntarily. It's an important thing. We recognize that they didn't do anything to him that he himself didn't allow to be done. But the argument to get there for them was this political argument. And all through, we get a sense of this political argument. People today, again, what I said earlier, people today, we're believers. We have such angst about the political state of America. It's astounding. We see such negativity in it. And people are just, you know, going down, 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 down. Their morale is horrible. They have lost perspective on who they are. The good news, bam, let's have a reminder. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're here for a cup of coffee. Right? What on earth is going on? Let's get the perspective right. I'll tell you, I have a challenge that I know about. I didn't know when I was a kid or a teenager. I've learned when I worked professionally, when I had my corporate job, I have a dry sense of humor. People don't always understand my sense of humor. They don't even know when I'm making jokes sometimes. I remember I was in a team meeting, and I was leading a team, and I said something that was dry or sarcastic, and the whole team's laughing, ah, ha, 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 and they're laughing actually pretty hard. And one lady in particular, she's laughing, ah, but her eyes are like, ah, ha, 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 ha. And I looked at her, I said, do you understand what's funny? And she said, no, but they're all laughing, so I thought I should laugh. That was a pretty good clue for me that I need to sometimes explain and tell people when I'm making a joke. I'm making a joke, and they go, oh, okay, that's helpful. Thank you for telling me that. We need to have the context, right? I think it's important to use that as an analogy to say right now we need to have the context for these times that we're in. If we're going to understand that we're citizen of heaven, let's have context for being citizen of heaven. These times being so chunky and nasty sometimes, what is the context of these days? This is a dip. Now, when I say this is a dip, it's like if you picture the old vanilla cone and you get a soft serve cone and they dip it in chocolate. You remember that? This is a dip in the context of these times. There's no way I can do justice to these verses. But just at a high level, the context of these days, so politically charged, I believe, have to do with a few things. We're in the last days. Not the last days, the last of the last days. Well, Jim, what's it going to be? I was one guy, some well-known speaker said, he thinks we have 2 months. You know, I've been hearing that personally. My family, we've been hearing that since the 70s. It's so old. Does anybody remember that? We're in the last days. And so there was a big push. A lot of clergy in America who believed that we were in the last days, they way back, and my dad knows what I'm going to say. I know it. They started to opt out of Social Security because they said, it won't matter. I'll never retire. I don't need Social Security. We're in the last. Messiah is going to come. And they did. But the problem is now they're 80-something years old because they did it in the 70s. You see the problem? And they have no Social Security. Clergy is allowed to opt out of Social Security in America. And that sounds so good. But in reality, it was really bad for them. Really, really bad. Because they were convinced. Now, I'm saying this because I don't know when the last of the last day will be. But I know the Bible gives some pretty strong clues. For example, the attitude of people. That's what Timothy's speaking to. Paul's speaking to the Timothy. He's talking about the last days. And I feel like this is a list to describe America. But know this, difficult times will come in the last days. And really, he's laying out people, personalities kind of stuff here. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. Can I say something? This irreconcilable thing is fascinating. There's tons and tons of studies that show for the first time, we believe in at least modern history, in other words, several thousand years, people are children are divorcing, basically separating from their parents and their siblings. They're saying, I no longer identify with you because you vote the other party. I'm not kidding you. And this is not a small movement. It's a big movement. And they're ka-tung. Thank you for giving birth to me. I'm off like a dirty shirt because you vote the other way, whatever way it is. It doesn't matter. Or I'm off going this way because you believe this and I believe that, and it doesn't matter. And it's unbelievable, the irreconcilable differences. It used to be, not that long ago, that one person in the family may vote one way and somebody vote one way, and they may bicker about it a little bit, but they love each other and they get together for Thanksgiving and maybe a birthday and they have a great time and then they, you know, whatever. Now, heaven forbid, you can't even do that. The irreconcilable, people are just looking to explode and to restart. I don't like you because you do this, you vote for that, I'm going to go over here. And it was prophesied. Slanderers. Do you know what's fascinating about the election with these two people? This is my one political statement I'm going to say. They're both very good at saying the negative about the other person. I don't remember it being this venomous. Both of them are so good at saying, well, I'll tell you about the other person. Why don't you just run on your platform? Right. Without self-control, I mean, we could talk about this list all morning. I'll just stop with this. Without self-control, people are literally embracing this sense of, well, this is my new truth. In this moment, I feel this way. Where is the self-control? Without love for what is good, people don't care about what's good anymore. They want what's good for themselves. They're brutal, the brutality. We see that in vicious, vicious words, and then they say, love wins. Traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. True, 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 true. Holding the form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people. Holding the form of godliness. Do you know the funny thing is through this whole list? We're supposed to be ambassadors of Him and His great love to them. Even with this list does not mean we're supposed to just, you know, put our head in the sand. Somehow we have to represent the gospel. Now, we have to be avoiding people that show up in a service and they say, well, all roads lead to the Lord. Well, that's not true. Only the road through the sun leads to the Lord. All other roads are dead ends. They're roads, but they're dead ends. So that's a description of people in these days. This is the context of our political era. What about this? Matthew 24. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars in the last days. Israel! We're so convinced. So many world leaders have gotten up in the last several months and said, World War III, we're on the precipice of World War III. We're ready to fall into World War III if we're not careful over there. Have you heard other world leaders say that? Wars and rumors of wars going around. There's this thing in Ukraine. It's going around. You know, we said we're going to get pulled into World War III because of what's going on in Ukraine or what's going on in Israel or what's going on in Hong Kong and Taiwan with China. It's nuts. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. We see, famines and earthquakes, there's not just an earthquake. The way our weather system travels, it goes through other things. You know, in order to get an earthquake, the whole weather patterns sometimes shift a bit. And climate change, the discussion of climate change, is a big, big thing. Whether it's happening or not happening, for the first time in the history of the whole world is watching weather topics. You will be hated by the nations because of my name. More and more and more people who really follow the Lord are hated. We're going to be less popular as time goes on, not more popular. Yeah. This is really a bummer. But we still got our looks. See, dry sense of humor. You see that? Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. These are not people who say, I am a prophet. These are people who say, well, I really know a good way. And it feels so good, you know, to listen to them. They have, oh, it feels so good. Yeah, that's my truth. You know, it feels good. Verse 12, because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. And this is a direct speaking to of believers who walk away. The agape of many will grow cold. They're going to be so discouraged by the lawlessness in the world that they're going to walk away. It's a radically heavy verse. This is the context of our politicians. Zechariah 12. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness. What? Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. Now I want to stop here, and I want to give you some context of when this prophecy occurs. This is after the rebirth. This prophecy is prophesied in Ezekiel and also in Zechariah that there'd be a rebirth of the nation of Israel. 1948, after 2,000 years of no formalized government of Israel, there was always people in the land, but there was the rebirth in 1948 of the nation of Israel. After the rebirth of the nation of Israel, there's more prophecies like this. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness. What this is everybody is going to be crazy. This is what it means. These nations are going to be crazy, and they're going to blame Jerusalem for all the problems. Ah, Jerusalem makes me crazy. Ah. And that's the illustration from drunkenness. You like that? Quote that at home, you know. Ah. Drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall happen in a day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. This means I'm sick and tired of dealing with what's going on in Israel. We hear about it all the time. They cause all the problems. Those Jews cause all the problems. Anti-Semitism has to get worse. It has to go up. It has to. You know, we pray against it. We know that's a spiritual warfare, but it has to get worse in the last of the last days. All who would heave it away, this is Jerusalem, heavy stone for all people, heave it away, will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. All nations of the earth are going to be against Israel. Do you know who's going to stand with Israel? Nobody's going to stand with Israel. America won't stand with Israel. It doesn't matter who's president. This is the context of our politicians. Eventually, everybody will not be supporting Israel. I know this is a buzzkill, isn't it? But when we think of our political backdrop, we are not citizens here. We know that God has a different plan for this stuff. And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, and he had 10 horns and 7 heads. This is Revelation 13, Daniel 7, actually all through Daniel. He speaks to the last days. This illustrates in the last days there's going to be what we know is there's going to be somebody that however the government looks and however it forms, the whole world is going to rally to this one guy. Now, what is missed in this by a lot of believers today is when the whole world rallies to this one guy and they want to follow this one guy, that means the whole world has to be on the same moral page. If America was a staunchly moral nation, and I'm not going to say another country because I'm afraid it would slight the other country, but if another country, and we know that they're out there, they're not moral at all. They live very unmorally. If America is a staunchly moral country, and there's another country that's very immoral, the two countries are not going to want to follow the same leader. They're too far apart morally. You got to get your head around that a little bit, yeah? I can't spend a lot of time talking about it. America has to degrade to the morals of the world. All the morals in the world have to come to the same page. All of the same issues. America has to be on the same page as the primary issues of the rest of the world so that the world is in the same place to follow a leader. Does it make sense? It's a heavy concept. So some of us who remember, we're maybe a certain age, we remember America was America the Great. We're watching America decline morally, to the point we watched the debate on TV the other day. And we're watching this going and we're thinking, well, what has happened? What's happened? America has to have more moral decline. So we want to solve the problems in the world with the same leader that Haiti does. Matthew 24, this is kind of a fun thing. Now, I just went through a whole long list of signs of the last days. Signs of them. Big list. Just as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and swept them all away. So it shall be at the coming of man. One of the things when it says days of Noah, there's a broad application of this. Like I said, it's a dip today. But one of the things that we know about the coming of the flood and days of Noah was even though Noah took 100 years to build the ark, even though he took all this time to build the ark, they didn't even understand that the flood was coming. Had they understood the flood was coming, they would have repented. They didn't get it. We're living in a day that we know it's not literally a flood. So metaphorically, it's going to be a metaphoric flood. Things are getting worse. We know that. We have to go through these things that the scriptures say, and we have to do this journey, and we watch it happen in our country. It's just a brutal thing. But still, people aren't going to understand it. They're going to miss it. What do you mean, like days of Noah? What? What are you talking about? Come back. No. They don't even know. We have it just like Noah did way back then to spend that time building the ark to tell everybody, repent, 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 repent. We're in the same place. Call on him, call on him, call on him, call on him, call on him. But we're living in tough times. This is the context for why our politics is so bad. When we see bad politics, we can't be discouraged because we're citizens from another country. And this. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Regardless of who wins, God is God. Amen. He is our king, and it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. We might not like the changes. We might pray for a delay as long as possible. You know, it's a funny thing. God, keep America the most amazing country in the world as long as possible. But I really want you to come right this minute. Because that's what we're kind of doing, isn't it? It's all right. He knows. He's not surprised by anybody. He's not going, why don't we think about it? So Joe Biden is currently our president. God was not surprised. Joe Biden, I didn't see this one coming, you know. He is not surprised. He is not impressed. You know, he's not going, well, Joe Biden, at least he's got all those years in the Senate going for him. I think I can work with that. He doesn't, long before Joe Biden ever walked the earth, he knew what was going to happen. He knows what's going to happen after Joe Biden. And he knows after that, and he knows after that. It's hard for us and our teeny tiny little intellects to think that we understand all of it because we don't. All we have to understand is we are citizens of heaven. He has a plan. We are not alone in our angst. But it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Because we understand that we're living in the last of the last days. And the road may be bumpy, but he's still king. What do you think? I want to ask you a question. Does anybody think I told you to vote Democrat? Anybody think I told you to vote Republican? Anybody think I said we should vote in the Lord? That's what I'm getting at. Follow the king. Let the politicians politic. In the meantime, we should vote. Go vote. Go vote. You know, there's all kinds of new polls. I've been watching this, if you follow this at all. There's new polls saying that there are a lot of disillusioned people and they may not vote at all. What's wrong with you? Wouldn't you like to say that to them? I get to say that this morning. What's wrong with you? Go vote. That was a joke, by the way. But do go vote. Let's pray for our country, huh? Please stand up. Lord God, we don't even know where to start. But we start, we know that, I guess, the easy place is that you're king and we're citizens of heaven. We're citizens in your land, your kingdom. We thank you for the great goodness in our lives. We thank you for putting us in this country, in a system that we get to be involved in. We do pray for our nation, Lord. America needs you. We pray for revival. We pray in this limited time that we have left that we show people of you. We tell Jews, we tell Gentiles to follow you. We show them the way, Lord. Help us be good disciples making disciples. Help us, Lord, with these times. Help us remember and rest on what you say. Thank you for your goodness. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarechecha Adonai Voyishmarecha. Yer Adonai Panav Eliecha Vihunecha. Yesei Adonai Panav Eliecha Viasem Lacha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So be blessed. Amen. So there's prayer here after service. There's coffee downstairs. You make your way down those main stairs. And don't rush out. Grab a calendar and...